back, everybody, to a brand new episode of All Gas, No Trash. My name's Josh, and I'm here today with good buddy Adam.
Yes, hello, greetings.
And we have some interesting things to discuss today, but before we get into it, as is tradition, we shall have the No Curse Minute, sponsored by our good friends at Game Rage Magazine. So we thank them for their continued sponsorship and support of our product. And without them, we couldn't do the CIA level 10,000 foot investigations into artistry and record labels and all the other things that we look into.
That is correct.
Also, I think my microphone's too low, but all right. Also, today we have, oh, thank God it's over. All right. Today we're going to talk about a new artist that Adam found called, what are they called? Rio Costa. Okay.
One of two.
Yeah. And so we're going to take a listen to their two singles that they have out, and then we're, you know, we'll discuss. And then in the process of looking through them, we did come across a lot of information. It is a lot of information that's very questionable, at least in my mind, as to the their management and like their, because I mean these guys, well, we'll talk about it. But anyways, let's get into, is there any basic lore you want to drop on these guys?
No, I mean, the only thing I really have to say is that you know what, I actually can't remember how I found their music. I know I found it recently. And
was it through YouTube?
No, it wasn't actually. Oh, okay. I just don't remember where it came from, but I found their music and I was like, this is interesting. This is cool. And then I started doing some perusing about some of the two main guys that are involved in it. But we'll go ahead and save that for after the fact that we listen to the two songs, because there is quite a bit of information to be disseminated upon you that we would like to talk about. I don't know if it's menacingly,
but no, it's okay. It's going to be taken as menacingly, but it's, again, it's not like we're coming from a place of trying to maybe we are kind of trying to expose things, but I mean, it's not like we're trying to like hurt people with the information. It's just, this is public available information that we found, and we've just basically tied some threads together that make a lot of fucking sense.
Yes. It definitely illustrates a bigger picture at play when it comes to one of the shows that has been mentioned within articles, or that this one particular show comes into play with some of the information we found. But we'll go ahead and discuss that after. So
all right, so we're gonna listen to
the two singles, the two songs. They released.
So if you want to listen along with us as we usually do, I haven't been saying this lately and I should probably start saying it more, just so people, like, you know, can do it if they don't get it already. Is go ahead and fire up your Google machines, your Spotify playlists, your Apple Musics, your phonographs, your fucking, what was that thing that was originally before phonograph? It was like, it was kind of like it, but it had like, it was on a little spin thing. It's like a music box, you know, it's on a spin thing.
Oh, and there's
little metal things that ding it.
Yeah.
Fire up your 1400s music box and fucking,
hopefully operated by a monkey.
That's even better. And go ahead and find Rio Costa, and what's the first one we're gonna listen to?
The first track that we're gonna listen to is called It's Starting.
Okay. And then I will say, the font on this is very reminiscent of Battletoads. I don't know why I get this,
Battletoads,
yeah, I get, or this, like, Battletoads feel from this, man, like
some 70s band, like, no, War, or like Cheech and Chong, or no, some
Battletoads.
Shit.
I get Battletoads from this.
Battletoads.
I get I feel like calling GameStop and asking if they have Battletoads now. All right? Anyways, all right. So here's the first track. It's Starting. I guess let's get started. All right. That was It's Starting by Rio Costa. And I will say that that was definitely a choice.
Choice in what way?
A very daring choice, I say, by making it a 5 minute long song in today's current environment of people having zero attention span as your opening kind of salvo into this project. Very daring choice. I mean, listen, I give him props for that. I'm gonna paint a picture for you here. All right. Okay. So I've heard this song before. All right. And likely not from where you're thinking. So you remember when you were like a kid and, you know, whatever, you're like maybe like 11, 12 in that, like, you know, starting to be have like that puberty fucking. And then you find your dad's porn tapes, right? And you find them under a bed in a closet. You find them fucking, I don't know, some weird ass place in the garage, in the rafters. You're snooping around and you find some porn tapes and you go, hey, let me go take the, what is this blank tape here? I'm going to go throw this in. And so the first fucking tape I ever found, all right, of porn was this, like, it was like this late 60s, early 70s, some weird shit that was like everybody, nobody was like, they were in some tropical country. I think they were in Cuba. And everyone was fucking Cuban. It was all Cuban ladies and white dudes.
Everybody was greased up.
Yeah, and everybody was greased up. And I'm telling you right now, I can't prove it because I don't know the fucking name. I never found out the name of that fucking thing because I think when my dad was recording it, he started the recording too late from the pay-per-view. And so he missed the title sequence. So, like, I'll never know what that's called. I'll never find it again. I guarantee you I'll never know. All right. But there, I distinctly remember this orgy scene, and there was a song in there that I swear to God, this is the exact fucking song. I'm not even fucking playing here. I'm, like, dead serious. It wasn't like, it was very similar. The whole background track was basically the same. And instead of, it's starting, it was like, we're coming. It was like something weird like that. I don't remember. Maybe I'm making the we're coming part up, but they were singing something like that, all right? And in that, like, it was like some ethereal voices in the background. Now, with that all being said, I think this is great. This brings back fond memories of jerking off as a young child, like, you know, and you're free, you don't know what you're doing. You got your pinky out. You're fucking, like, you know, you're closing your eyes. You're fucking being an idiot. Like, I don't know, man. I think this is very interesting. And I have to, again, give them props and credit for making the choice to put a 5-minute song out there, have almost no lyrical content whatsoever. This is just basically, for all intents and purposes, an instrumental track for the most part.
It is.
And, I think that's a very daring choice, and I'll give him credit. I'll give him props for that.
Yeah, I will say, because I looked into this as far as the track goes, because I was listening to the music as well, and I mean, prior to us meeting,
yeah.
I was like, dude, we waited a whole minute until the song actually fucking. They were priming us. They were edging us for a good minute.
Yeah,
and I was like, man, you know. There was a lot of parts of this song that I think could have been truncated down to, like, for sure the intro could have been truncated to about 45 seconds, and then it could have gotten to the groove. But I could tell, like, this is more of an ambience thing. Like, this is a...
Yeah.
I think any DJ worth their salt would have this music in their playlist or their music curation, because I think this is... very fucking good. I think this is worthy of being in every club.
Oh yeah,
like this is a good party going, like, club going soundtrack.
Yeah, and like this song makes me want to do cocaine. Like, I fucking want to do so much coke right now, dude.
I want to do LSD,
cocaine, fucking whatever. Give me some fentanyl. I mean, shit. I'll give me whatever you got, China. Let's go. All right.
yeah, I think this is a very cool ambient track, and I think there's a lot of legs for this. There's already bands that kind of already do this type of music, and it's not really so much about lyrical depth or anything like that, because there's not really much to begin with. It's just a good, like, ambient track that gets people moving and gets people going. I think for people that enjoy bands like War, Regine, Krungbin, maybe even like Tame Impala, even though it's kind of like psychedelic rock, but there is like a psychedelic element. It does feel like that.
Yeah.
So that was the opening track, and it's a 5-minute song. And for me, it does run a little long, I suppose, where, like I said, there's certain parts that just go on for a little bit too long, but that's the feel they're going for. And I think when you're making a club banger like this, you kind of want it to be maybe 5 minutes, because you needed to kind of take up space, right? Like, as opposed to making a 2 or 3 minute song, like, oh, just as soon as it arrived, it's fucking gone and people don't remember the name of it. If you make it like 5 or 6 minutes, it's like, all right, you have a chance of being somebody pulls out their Shazam fucking app on their phone. They're like, what track is this? With 5 minutes, you create a lot of real estate for that opportunity.
Yeah, and you know, I kind of think that. Well, I'll get to that once we listen to the next song. But anyways, all right, you want to listen to the next track? Let's.
Yeah, we're gonna watch the music video because I want you to see what these motherfuckers look like. Right. Yeah. So we'll go ahead and listen to the next track, which is called Ancients, and we will give you our opinion on it as soon as we.
So fire up your thing and pull it up for shits and giggles. Just watch the music video so you can be watching the same shit we are.
Yeah.
So fire it up. Here we go.
And also got the other one.
Yeah. Check out the other one, too. All right. All right. That was Ancients. Man, that was fucking amazing. That's very good. That is amazing. And all right. It also got my brain working. All right. He got my brain.
I got a script for an entire pornography.
No. Well, I mean, this could be a pornography, but all right. Okay. Like that song made me want to invade a small Southeast Asian country. Like that, that was fucking awesome. Right.
Best life.
Yeah. So in thinking about that, I kind of got this great idea. Their music would be like perfect in a movie where it's, you use like the modern day setting. Fuck, you could do Ukraine. You could do the wars in Iraq or Afghanistan. And you take the Apocalypse Now storyline where you had Colonel Kurtz or whatever. And he fucking breaks off and has this crazy like drug fueled fucking separate army. And like you could do that whole kind of like storyline just rehashed in like the modern setting. And this music would be fucking perfect for that. Man, that is some good shit.
Yeah, it's a crunchy groove.
It is, man. God, I'm always disappointed when I like the shit that you bring, because I always want to. I really, my base default instinct is to want to hate everything that you say.
Yeah.
Or bring out.
Yeah.
But I can't. Like, it's just so good. Like, God damn it, why you gotta be so good at this?
I don't know, but anyways, these fucking guys, dude. So we're watching the music video because this one's the other one's in black and white, but you could tell that there's a certain degree of quality behind their music videos.
Oh, yeah.
If you have the opportunity to check out both, just watch them and you'll see what I mean. And this one, though it's like a single shot and it's them standing in the center of what is seemingly like a circular theater, and they're in the center of it. These guys, there's one guy, he's not one of the main people, but he's got like the Sergeant Pepper's like fucking garments, like when the Beatles started doing drugs and shit. I'm like, that's incredible, dude. Like, I can't believe. Is, and then the two main guys, one of them looks like some dude, the Costa Galanopoulos guy. He's got like this French, like 1960s look with these big, like white glasses and like a beret and shit. And then the other guy, Mike Del Rio, he has like, What I would suspect like a Mexican would look like in the 1960s or 70s with the like poncho and the headband. And he looks like in their press photos, he looks like a Contra fucking dude.
Yeah.
Or like what is it? A Sandinista or.
Yeah. Sandinista.
But these guys. So, go ahead and check out both songs if you haven't already done so. Follow these guys on Instagram. They only have like 4,000 followers, but they're quickly.
I think they should partner with good buddy and Game Rage ally.
Game Rage ally.
Millennial Frog.
Millennial Frog.
And I think that they should lean into this Battletoads. Do Battle Frogs, all right? Like they should. They should lean into this, all right. That's my theory. That's my thought. I mean, fuck, why not?
So now we're gonna start getting into the mountain of information that we found.
Oh yeah, Jesus.
All right, so neither of these guys are people that are just starting out in their music careers. Both these guys have been in projects. What was the Mike Del Rio guy part of? He was part of Powers.
Yeah. Co-creator and lead member.
So that band, while I do remember them, I don't know if they're still active because the last thing they made was like in 2022. So I don't think that's something that is still ongoing. But according to his Wikipedia, he has worked with a number of artists that include Kylie Minogue, Selena Gomez, Eminem, Christina Aguilera, CeeLo Green, and a bunch of other artists. But yeah, that's for Mike Del Rio.
Man. There's that 10-year shelf life you were talking about, because they started that in late 2013.
And they fell apart in 2022, man. Yeah.
That's that 10-year window, dude. It's the prophecy has been fulfilled.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not tying himself down to one thing either. Look,
no, he's jumping to some other
shit. As a producer, he's just working. Yeah, so they're both multi-instrumentalists. They're both, I guess, producers and songwriters. So for the Costa Galanopoulos guy, so he's currently touring as a drummer for this band called Magic Giant, which we both think sucks dick.
not good.
It's fucking gay. I can't believe I said that. Well, fuck it. I got to wear it now.
Well, might as well lead into it. It's fake and gay. All right.
That's like the millennial. That's the millennial me speaking, dude.
Yeah, man. We can't help it.
We can't help it, dude.
It's part of the lexicon.
Yeah. Right? And we don't mean it like in a homophobic way. Yeah, we just mean it's stupid.
Yeah. That's what it means. It means stupid. All right. Yeah. It doesn't mean like anything about your sexual fucking
preference, whatever. Yeah. I mean, anyways, so Costa Galanopoulos has been touring with a band. Well, we don't know if that's still the case right now, because we don't know if this article is still, you know, written in 2025 or 2023 or whenever it was written. But anyways, so this dude has already played Coachella. He's played at festivals, and according to the lore, it is believed that between Costa Galanopoulos and Mike Del Rio, they met at a festival and they vibed with each other. There was like an article that said they were talking about their past fucking lives, like their destiny as artists and also like their past lives, which is kind of something that was talked about in the second song we listened to. And
yeah,
in their past life, like they seemingly believe that they lived in past lives.
I want to get high as fuck with these guys. All right. Like that. And I don't know. Sit down and talk.
But who knows if this is actually true or this is the lore that's being given.
Who cares? We can make it true by doing it. Right?
If we smoke enough weed, it's possible.
It's possible. All right.
Guys, I don't want to get back in time. We just need to lick toads. And
Listen, if you lick enough poison dart frogs, all right, you will eventually travel back through time and you will live out. It's like the Animus in Assassin's Creed. You will live out all your past lives through your DNA, okay?
Yeah, Jesus. It's all unlocked through frogs and toads.
Yeah, simple math, all right?
Yeah, you got to lick them off, or you got to squeeze them or scrape off the
psychedelic juice. Yeah.
You know what? This music makes me feel like that.
Dude, I want to do some fucking ayahuasca with these guys. Yeah. Like, let's go, man.
Yeah, and there's like There's lore to this band that they started working together on their music at this place called the Havana Hotel, which there's like a history of bands that have or artists that have gone through there. Like, I don't know if it's like a commune, but they are part of like a commune where, you know, they collectively live with other people and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But then we start like So as we already established the fact that they're both like songwriters and producers and multi-instrumentalists and shit, so we started like looking into them, right? So I googled them, and the thing that I could find was that there's already a PR firm representing them. And it's not just any PR firm. They represent Sophie, who's a big artist. There's Little Sims, Wiz Khalifa, I forgot what other artists there are, but just out of the gate, right?
Out of the gate
they already have a PR firm.
I mean, it makes sense. They've been around. Like, it's not like
they've been around, right?
They've got contacts. They know people,
right?
I mean, it makes sense.
It's true, but you know, the music is good, so it does lend to the fact that people believe in this project. Even for myself, like, I see potential in it. It's not just this band sucks and they're getting a push, or like they're getting the rub, or they have people they're working with that are getting paid to do this, as opposed to like I genuinely believe that this PR firm believes in this project, because I think
as you should.
Yeah, I think they're capable of being a festival level act like that. That I don't have any doubt in my mind about that, because there's already comparable artists like Krungbin and Brigine that they could play with. Like, I could already see it. But so within the organization itself, there's this woman who is the U.S. partner of 23, the PR firm.
Yeah, Amanda Perstein.
So in her past, she was a contractor that worked at YouTube as a marketing comms manager, artist, and industry. Yeah. And within her role, it says that she... You go ahead and read it because you have better...
So basically, what is very interesting about this is the time frames, too. Okay, so as this marketing comms manager, her responsibilities were basically globally scaling all of the communications for YouTube Music based on like business to business and straight going to market projects. I think that's what that stands for.
What is B2B? I gotta look up what B2B means.
She also is the content and operations lead for YouTube Music marketing programs, right? As part of that responsibility. So there's a lot of, I don't know what the word is, but there's a lot of connections you can make doing that. And she only did that contract for a year. And what's funny is she was already a founding partner from May of 2019. And then she got this opportunity at YouTube in September of 2022 to September of 2023. So it's kind of interesting how if you are running this PR firm and you get an opportunity to go work at YouTube and potentially take your stuff that you have in your PR firm and like throw it out there because you have direct access to the inside baseball of YouTube at this point. So that's a smart move. I mean,
considering how good their music videos look, I mean, she must have told them, hey, this is how you guys could game the system for the YouTube algorithm, because that shit does not look poverty.
No, it does not.
It doesn't look poverty. And as somebody that's in PR, you imagine that you use every resource and every connection that you have and every bit of info you could use to promote your artist, to get them one up over everybody else. Shit, what was the other thing I was going to talk about?
BPCM. This is a major strategic consulting and communication. She's the vice president or a vice president.
All right.
At this thing that she just started working there in October of 2023.
Right.
And I mean, dude, like, craft and lead custom online print TV radio campaigns. Roster includes museums, next gen materials, luxury fashion, and more.
Craft and lead custom online print TV radio campaigns. So she must know how to
get
the... Actually, oddly enough, this band has not been featured on local radio stations here in Southern California. So it is rather odd that for somebody that has that expertise, that hasn't been something that this particular band hasn't ended up on radio just yet.
Yeah, true.
But so one other thing I wanted to point out, because when you look at the source for song credits, it says Verdigris Records, which only would... The actual results that come up are Verdigris Management.
Which I'm assuming that's the same thing.
Right. So what we could find as far as that. So this is a management group that has artists like Jungle, which is like one of the biggest bands in the world. And then you have Hot Chip. And the reason that Hot Chip is interesting is because 2 years ago, if you go on concertarchives.com and you check out Rio Costa, you'll find that Hot Chip headlined the Palladium, and who else but fucking Rio Costa opened. And it is rather coincidental that these two are on the same fucking bill.
Yeah, no, it is. It further proves again the theory that we've been, or the thing that we've been talking about, is okay, it's all interconnected. That's how booking shit is made, is it's all interconnected. Yeah. The same shit,
and this is specifically management, which is kind of like more business opportunities and shit, but booking agencies kind of take care of that. But it seems like this management group might take care of both, and their roster, they have these two artists that performed 2 years ago. It's like, oh shit, like even in this situation, even with management, you have artists from the same roster playing with each other. And just to quickly note, some of the other artists that are featured are Priya Raghu, who's also another big artist, and Caro Benito and her solo project. But those are the ones that I could pick.
What did they do at this thing 2 years ago? Because like on Apple Music, they only have these two songs and they just came out like a few weeks ago. So like,
okay, so there's a YouTube comment that says there was a song called something lejos, which is like far away, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't remember what the first word was. I don't want to look up the comment, but it seemingly implied that there was one other song that they released that they might have taken down, and then they kind of restarted it up again with this new double single release that came out a month ago.
So you think they played this shit at that show 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And they've just been sitting on this until
now? Yeah.
I guess now. And now they're both available?
Yeah, because if we're understanding this correctly, and they are in fact songwriters and producers, and then also touring musicians, that they don't have enough time to actually release music in a timely manner, that they can only really do this when they have time allotted. But depending on how successful this music is, and it looks like it's kind of picking up pace, because one of the singles, the one eight, the Ancients track has 280,000 streams on Spotify. So it's like, oh, they got something here.
Yeah,
but they have to give out a full album for people to see where it's at. And
up into it, you know.
And then they could actually commit full time if they're able to. So,
yeah,
that's more or less the gist of what we've been able to come across with this group. That between these two artists, these dudes are not new faces to the music industry. They've been around. This is just probably another project in their pocket that they happened to find each other and were able to make some music, and it's seemingly catching on. So we wanted to talk about it because, one, it's interesting, and two, we got to beat people to the punch.
Yeah, take that, publicly funded radio stations and even non-publicly funded radio stations. You can't got shit on us.
Yeah.
All right. Also, I do want to say before we go, okay, I think we should definitely put out an album cover of something for Game Rage, or we should change the All Gas No Trash logo to a picture of us shirtless doing like what these guys are doing. Like, I think we should do that. Like, I vote for this. This is what we do. All right.
And the band's name is just Sports.
Yeah. We should just be podcast.
Like, very avant-garde.
Yeah, yeah.
Very minimalistic.
Pretty great.
One more for the good guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the end of it. We'll check you out on the next one. And, yeah, go fuck yourself.